You know, I was thinking through this week how that God has been faithful to me, and I know He has been faithful to you through this week. And yet, as we see that fall is beginning to come, the leaves are beginning to change, things have been changing in the season. And I do know as we see the seasons change, we also have seasons in our life that changes. And there's things that come our way, things that we may not be ready for, and things that develop that we're not prepared for. But there's one good thing to know, that Jesus is never surprised by anything that you and I face or anything that you and I go through, because we know that God is with us every step of the way. And we can trust in Him and know that He is a God that is faithful. He is faithful to you and I. He's faithful even to the very end. And I tell you, it's been a wonderful journey to know that God has been with me and my family, and yet the Lord will be closer to you and I than a brother and a sister. And I had lost my sister, now will be almost a year ago, and if she was living, yesterday was her birthday, if she was alive. And so yet I've been a little sad in a certain degree, but I'm rejoicing to know that my sister is in a better place today, and to know that she is in the hands of the Lord. And I was just talking with somebody, matter of fact, this week, and I said, you know, my sister practiced and rehearsed and did music majority of all her life and sung about the Lord and the goodness of the Lord and how faithful the Lord is, and yet she didn't realize she was preparing herself to leave this life and to go in to eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that she taught, everything that she said, everything that she sung about, guess what? It has now become reality. And now she is worshiping with the Lord forevermore. And so there's no way that I would want her to come back to this world. And any amount of monies of the world, I would want her to stay exactly where she's at, because one day you and I will be able, if we're faithful and we serve the Lord, and knowing that the Lord is our Lord and Savior, one day we will see our loved ones that have gone before us. We will see them one day, because the Bible clearly lets us know that we will know them as they were known. And so it's comforting to know that those that have gone before us are waiting on us, and they're on the other side, and yet we still have work to do right now, that God has not called us home yet, and He still has a work for us. He has a plan for us, and we're to be busy, as Jesus would say, I want to be busy about my Father's business. And that's what we're to do. We're still to look to the cross. We're not to look to the left. We're not to look at the right. We're not to take any detours. We must understand that we're not living on a cruise liner, but we're on a battlefield, and we're on a battleship. And we are fighting for the cause and the right for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God today that you and I, we are equipped. He is giving us the whole armor of God. We had our men's fellowship, which was a wonderful thing that we had yesterday, and a good Bible study about putting on the whole armor of God. And I thought it was something that someone would bring that to us in our men's fellowship as a guest speaker, but had not known that we were talking about the whole armor of God. And it was quite it was quite wonderful to know that that the Lord is working mightily, and as he says, God works in mysterious ways. And so we are all to be encouraged and to know that God is with us every step of the way. But if you have your Bibles today, I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 17th verse. And my title again, as we continue on in this series, is called Rooted and Rising. And this is sermon number 7. If you have missed any of the other sermons, you can go back on our website to www.vfclexington.org, look into the media area, and you can see clearly all of the sermons that you have maybe have missed. You can see it on video. Also, you can see it on Spotify, audio-wise. You can listen to it audio. And the title of my message today is this: Positives in the Christian Life. Positives in the Christian Life. And there is some positives that I want us to look at today in our Christian walk, because we're talking about how that we are to be mature Christians, and for us to be mature, we've got to grow. Anytime that you're going to mature in anything that you do, you first must do the homework, and you must get prepared to get to the point to become mature in Christ Jesus. And so with that, there is a process that you and I must go through. I was talking with somebody again this week. We were talking about having the spiritual milk, but then wanting the spiritual meat. And you first got to have the milk first before you can get into the meat of God's Word, because the foundation has to be laid first before you can develop on that and before you can build on that and develop into maturity. Because with being mature Christians, they will be things that you and I will face, and if you are a new Christian, a new babe in Christ, you may not be able to handle those situations where that you need someone else that is mature in the Word of God to come along the side of you and help you through the Word of God to give you that added strength. Because a lot of times you, as a young babe in Christ, you can't handle the situation. But as you grow and develop in the Word of God and you begin to understand by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, because He becomes our teacher, He teaches us into all truth. Why? He's the comforter. He comforts us. And with the Holy Spirit, it helps us to develop that we become positive in our walk with God. That's why that we never need the Holy Spirit to be out of the equation. We need the Holy Spirit in our life at all times. We need Him activated in our lives, because Jesus has sent the Comforter. He has sent the Holy Spirit unto us to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, to direct us into all matters of life. So therefore, we're not to hang on our own intellect, our own wisdom, our own knowledge, nor to our own ability, but we are now to rely on the Holy Spirit to lead us, to direct us, to guide us, and bring us into all truth. Remember, your intellect is only limited. You're limited in your knowledge and your ability. That's why the Bible says that God clearly loves us and that He gave His one and only Son unto us that we may know all things, not within ourselves, but that we would know all things in Christ. In other words, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for you, and to know Him is to make Him known. And so I want you to know today through the Scriptures that we can find comfort in the Word of God. Let's look at this a little bit. Ephesians 4 and 17. This I say, as God's Word says, as the Apostle Paul is speaking, he says, therefore, testifying in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanliness with greediness. Now, do we live in a world that's dealing with that right now? Yes, we live in that world. So I want you to know today, the Bible is truly fulfilling itself every day. So when we read the Word of God, we're reading what's happening in our world. Let's look at this. But you have not so learned Christ, for if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I want you to see this passage with me here a little bit. Here's the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He's letting them know that you started out in a good direction. You started out right, but then you begin to get real relaxed. In other words, you begin to do what you want to do, be what you want to be, say what you want to say, go where you want to go. And he says, now this is what's happening. You're not being moved by the Spirit, but you're being moved by the flesh. And I want you to know today, if you're moving by the flesh, you will not get far at all. Because God does not see the flesh, He sees the Spirit. The Spirit sees the Spirit, the flesh sees the flesh. And if you're working in the flesh, you are working in carnality. And when you're working in carnality, you cannot do the work that Jesus Christ has called you to do because you're working in the flesh. When you work in the flesh, you will die to the flesh. But when you're working in the Spirit, you will be living in the Spirit. You will be talking in the Spirit. You will be directed in the Spirit so that you can effectively do the work that Jesus Christ has called you to do. That's why God has called us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves, that we come together knowing that this is the place where you and I come to know the Lord. And not only do we know the Lord, we come to make Him known. In other words, we've come into God's house because we want to hear the Word of God, and then we want to act on the Word of God, and we want to be encouraged in the Word of God because we know there's a dying world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's calling us for us to be equipped by putting on the whole armor of God so that we can withstand not just with ourselves, But we can withstand everything that comes around us that tries to stop the moving of God's Holy Spirit in our lives and try to stop us from doing the work of the Lord. God has called you and I to do a work for the Lord. It is not time to stop on God. It's not to be nonchalant with God and the workings of God. God is wanting us to be on fire for Him. He is wanting us to do a work until He calls us home. It is not that we're sitting on a cruise liner, but we're on a battleship fighting for the right and fighting for the Lord. Therefore, I want you to know today we must stay positive in a negative world so that God can do the things He's wanting to do in you and I. If we get in the mentality and say, well, let God talk to somebody else. Let's let God call somebody else. Let God do this. Let God do this. Listen, God has called you. God has called me to do a work for Him. He's not called for somebody else, but He's called you and I. So therefore, we must be faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ and continue to fight the good fight of faith. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Righteousness meaning being in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is causing righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let every one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give the place to the devil. Don't give an inch unto the devil. Don't even give him a crack to get in to anything that you're doing, because I'm telling you today, the enemy is out to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to stop you from reading your Bible. He wants to stop you from praying. He's wanting to stop you from doing a lot of things for the Lord, because he knows that time is short and he's got to do everything he can. Because I do believe that there is a great awakening that's taking place even in America. And I do know that there's coming a great revival. And God is wanting us to be equipped. He's wanting us to be prepared and ready for the mighty moving of God before our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. God's word clearly lets us know. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give the place to the devil. Let him, verse 28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, which is what is good, and that he may have something to give him who has in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. See, this is the word that I want you to know today, that when you're growing in grace and when you're growing in the Word of God, as you become that new babe in Christ, as time goes on, then this is the word that we need to remind us that we're not babies anymore, that we're not to act like we're babies, that we're not acting, that we act like that we don't know what's going on, because now the Word is letting us know what to face, what to expect as you begin to spend time with God. And as you get older and older, God's Word lets us know, be careful, be watchful, understand the enemy. Don't underestimate what the enemy is trying to do in your life. So this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says that you would stay close to the Lord, work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give of him who has a need. Again, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good of the necessity or necessary of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you have, which were sealed on the day of redemption. Again, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I give you an example that when someone first comes to know the Lord, they may be dealing with unforgiving heart. Maybe they're dealing with anger. Maybe they're dealing with bitterness because they're new unto the Lord. But as you mature in Christ, and as you've been growing by praying and reading the Word of God, meditating and talking to the Lord, then you begin to grow up where that you don't let these things affect you, because now you're mature, you're maturing in the Word of God, and you're realizing the repercussions of those things that may creep into your heart and in your life, and therefore you know how to combat the enemy, because now you're maturing as you begin to digest the Word of God in your heart and life. What does David say? David said that I would hide your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you, that I may covet the word of God, that the word becomes so precious under our hearts and life, that truly the word of God is our saving grace. That the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. That the Word of God will cut anything that comes our way. That the Word is the standard. God holds a standard, and God holds a standard unto us, that He has equipped us by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I want you to know today, negatives will come our way even in the mature Christian life. Walk not as other Gentiles. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, as we've read the scripture. Let him that stole steal no more. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. These were even things that were going on then, and they're still things that are going on today. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Yet has the Holy Spirit used these in your life? Then let us look at this. Some positives from the same text. My first point today is this: be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4 and 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice that's preceding the verse. We are to put off the old man. Throw out the works of the flesh. Put off the old man. There is a brand new man that has started in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your heart and life. We must be renewed in our mind. I've always said and will say again, your mind is not saved. What goes in comes out. If there's corruption going in, there's corruption going out. If there's good things coming in, there's good things coming out. And so we need to understand that we take every thought into captivity. We take every stronghold. We bring it down under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we surrender when we say, Lord, sanctify my heart. Sanctify my mind. Sanctify my body, Lord. Help me to be what you want me to be, not what I want to do and where I want to go. But Lord, that I would come under consecration. Listen, the Bible lets us know and gives us vivid descriptions. Galatians 5 and 19, now the works of the flesh are evident. That's why we got to renew our minds. Are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilers, the like of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. List by list, line by line. That's why it's so important that you cannot do these things on your own. What are you saying, Pastor? It takes the Lord Jesus Christ to do these things that I've just listed to you to help you get through this life. If you think that you can do it all your own and can scratch and mark all of this of what you can and can't do, you will make a big mess of it. But when you fully surrender His Lordship and you say, Lord, I need You to help me in these areas, if it's some areas, if it's all areas, what areas it is, Lord, help me, Lord, that I will surrender to Your will, not my will. Jesus said, it's not my will, but Your will be done. Because nothing of the flesh matters, only the Holy Spirit that's been changed in you can help you overcome the things that we deal with day by day. The Christian may neglect his mind. If he does, he may act like a lost person. But he is urged not to do so. The danger of neglecting proper mind input is a reaction. And it becomes the downward road, and it becomes a spiral going out of control. And yet we need to understand that Jesus clearly judges on the just and the unjust. He cannot see sin. He cannot see the things of the world, but only through His Son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid the price over 2,000 years ago, and He became the ultimate sacrifice that you and I can have the authority to greet God and to know God is to make Him known, and it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly lets us know this can be avoided by renewing of our minds. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed. Look at this word, be not conformed to this world. We are just like pilgrims, as Peter says, we're just passing through. But we're not to be conformed to the world. We're not to adapt to the world. We're not to be of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. God has come to save the world which is lost. He did not come to condemn it, but He came to save it. But guess what? We as Christians are not to conform to the world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If the devil can get to your mind, he can get to your heart. If he can get to your heart, he can get to your soul. If he can get to your soul, he has full control because he's got it all. That's why we cannot give him room an inch of anything in our life, because you've heard it, I've heard it. If you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. If you give him a mile, he'll take 10 miles. If you give him 10 miles, he'll take 20 miles. He has no respect of a person. Our mind needs renewing daily. Every day. Every day we must renew our mind. Second, put on the new man. You don't put on the old man. The old man is gone. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. They're brand new now. God is about, Jesus is about new things. He's not about old things. Ephesians 4 and 24, and you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. The Christian is the paradox. He has the potential for failure. He has the old nature that never improves as long as he lives. He also has the Holy Spirit residing in him. This place is unlimited of the power at his disposal for victory. He has actually become a partaker of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is able to live through his body. Christ is able to live through us because Paul said this. He said, there's nothing good about me, old wretched man that I am. The only thing that I know is him and him crucified. And so for us today, there's nothing good in us, but only what Jesus Christ that's in us that will live and last in our hearts and our life. Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about me, but it is now Christ that's living in us, and we're living that crucified life because now it's not about your way, it's not about my way, but it's about Jesus Christ and his way. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And we can live that and know that God has sustained all because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has the power that raised Christ from the dead. And if he's got the power to raise Christ from the dead, don't think one minute that God does not have the power to resurrect you and to cause the power of the living God to live in your life and resurrect you from a place called hell and cause you to go to a place called heaven. That's the God that I serve, and that's the God that has the power. Listen, talk about it. He has that power. He has all that he needs for victorious living. Talk about the $6 million man. God has clearly given us and equipped us that we will not fail. We serve a God that will not fail. We serve a God that cannot fail. He cannot fail. And to know that he is God Almighty. Third, labor so that you can give to those in need. This is being the positive Christian. Labor so that you can give to those that are in need. Ephesians 4 and 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has a need. Apparently, there must have been somebody that had been stealing. And the Apostle Paul had to say, stop stealing. Don't steal no more. If you're claiming Jesus Christ and serving Jesus Christ, stop stealing. Stop taking stuff. Stop taking stuff that's not yours. Leave it alone. Get your hands off of it. Take all that energy that you've been trying to, maybe somebody's been sneaking around. Maybe somebody's taking something from another Christian. Maybe somebody's doing something else. He says, stop doing what you're doing. Take all that energy that you're trying to hide and sneak and steal and all this. Take that energy, put it in the works for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let God do something. Let Jesus do something in your life. And let some things take place for the good of man and not the bad for the man. Stop doing it. Listen. Here is a unique purpose for working. Why do you work? We work because we got to make a living. Why do we work? We repair, we prepare for retirement. Why do we work? It could be to leave a fortune for your children. Why do we work? To make investments. Here's a better reason. To give to those that are in need. Because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I tell you, I've always said, and we'll say it again, you can never outgive God. Because God, in return, will bless you. And if you clench your fist to this wallet and you hold on to it, with it, God is not going to bless. But when you relinquish it, and you say, Lord, all that is yours. It is not mine. For Lord, you're the one that created wealth. We don't create the wealth. God creates whatever He wants in our hearts and life. And if Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, then that's what we're to do. That's what we're to do. My sister was such a giver, not only to this church, but giver to those. And on her tombstone, I put on her tombstone, Ephesians 6 and 38, give and it shall be given. And that's all I could put on that tombstone because they could only give me so much room to put on her tombstone. But if there was anything that I could sum my sister up, and what kind of person she was. She was a generous giver. And she gave from her heart because she knew that what she had came from the Lord. It came from the Lord. It was nothing that she created. Give and it shall be given. And my sister always told me, she said, Tim, I know you're my pastor, but I always want you to know, give. And it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. See, God gives us the vivid description of what God is. And I'm going to go a step further. It's not the amount that you give. It's the heart that you have. Let me say that again. I want you to catch this. Sometimes it's caught instead of taught. It's not the amount that you give. It's the heart that you have. And if God knows the heart in what you give, and knowing that you're stepping out in faith and you're giving something above what you cannot, God in return sees the heart and He knows. And guess what? He brings blessings and He brings provision unto you and I. And you'll never be begging for bread. And you'll never be asking for anything because God's going to take care of His own. If your heart is where it needs to be with God. And so I want to say today, as we look at our Christian walk, so that we will labor, that we may give to those that are in need. Fourth, in my closing, be kind one to another. Ephesians 4 and 32. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Being kind one to another. If you're not very kind, you're not very spiritual. Kindness, that results in being tender to the need of others. Kindness that makes it easy to forgive. Kindness that demonstrates the love of Christ to others. In my conclusion, different, mature, ready for responsibility, effective in Christian service as the Lord lives through us. Different, mature, ready for responsibility. Effective in Christian service as the Lord lives through us. Christ is to live through us. Why? Because He's establishing you and I to do what He's asked us to do. It behooves me sometimes that people think that Jesus gave a suggestion. Jesus did not suggest unto you and I. He commanded us to do as His disciples. Do as He has called us to do. We have a duty. We have a service. We are disciples. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ.